I'll go back to your seats and let's hear from God today. He's an awesome God. It's a wonderful God. And I think God's got a message for us all today. Hey, Gary, will you give that to her? She left, fell out of her Bible. Miss Andy. Well, amen. Can y'all hear me okay? All right, it's a new mic, so hopefully we've solved all the issues. Here's my question to all of us this morning. God has given us both freedom. God has given us independence. And my question to us as a church is, which one should we choose? Now, I think that before we can answer the question, you have to know the difference. And what is the difference between freedom and what is the difference between independence? Freedom is the power that God has given everyone in this church. The power, the right to speak and to think and candidly act as anyone wants to do. Independence is a little different, that independence is freedom from outside control and not to be subject to another's authority. So if you go back, God has given us both freedom and independence. Which one of these should we choose? The power, the right to act and speak or think as we want, or maybe independence, freedom from outside control and not to be subject to another's authority. Now, it's up to you today, as we work through this message, to decide whether these two definitions are symmetrical. Some would go, what is the term symmetrical? Well, the definition of symmetrical is made up of exactly similar parts facing each other or around an axis showing symmetry. And the example is like the shape of a hill. It's smooth and it's very symmetrical. Freedom and independence is very close. If you look at those definitions, they're very close one to another. And again, a lot of people go, we have freedom in Christ. Well, we do. Some go, we have independence in Christ. Well, you might. But I want us to work through this today. Now, again, freedom is the power. God has given us, the church, the power or the right to act however we want to act or think however we want to think. God says it's yours. And independence from the freedom of outside control so that we are not subject to another's authority. God has given his creation and the child of God. God has created and we become the children of God. But God has given his creation freedom. He has given you and me the power to act and speak and think as we want to think. And the independence to have freedom from outside control and not to be subject to one's authority. So again, freedom, independence. In the book of Romans, it says, for those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds. And I want you to think about that term. Those who are living by the flesh literally have set their minds on the things of the flesh. I mean, they have honed in on the things of the flesh because they find comfort in the things of the flesh. One of the greatest tools that I see Satan is using against the church is alcohol. Alcohol is destroying the people of the church. And I got to tell you that people will come to church on Sunday, but they'll get drunk Sunday evening. You can see it on the news. You can hear it, read it in the paper. You see it everywhere. And it's like God knows what we do. God knows how we act. God knows what we think. So Romans said, if you set your eyes on the flesh and you live in the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for the mind sets on the flesh is death. But the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, don't forget, you have freedom and independence to choose if I or you want to live by the flesh. You know, I got to the place in my personal life, I've shared with Pam, I have struggled my whole life being overweight. And I told Pam the other day, and I wrote it in my journal, enough is enough. It was time to go take control because I was living by the flesh. But if I live by the Spirit, there is life. But the doctor said, if you don't lose weight, Keith, you're going to die. So if you live by the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, then God is going to give you and me the life that we need. But the choice is yours. Second Chronicles, it said, all of the people of Judah took Uzziah. Now, he's only 16 years of age and made him king in the place of his father. Now, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God would prosper him. If you live by the flesh, go look in the mirror and ask yourself, why am I having all the problems? And sometimes Satan is not the cause, it's your choices. Or you and I can get to the place to go, I will live from this day further by the Spirit. And as long as I seek the Lord, God's gonna prosper me. Now, everything Uzziah touched prospered. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, all that we touch will prosper as long as we don't go to the left, as long as we don't go to the right. But 2 Chronicles 26:16, and this is the demise of an individual, says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense, which was the priest's job. And his overconfidence replaced his humility. Think about the days when you had nothing. Think about the days when church was truly a priority because you had no other place to go. God has now prospered so many people, but all of a sudden God takes second place, and then we take first place. And God goes, but I'm the one that made you prosper. And I know that we all need time off. I know that we all need time away. God said so. Jesus showed us in Scripture that there was a time to pull away. But church, I got to tell you that we're living in a place of history that the church has got to take things serious, that the church has to understand their role, that the church understands that we have been given authority to rebuke the evil one. We have to become offensive and no longer be defensive. We need to be the ones that move forward and not back up. And we need to have the voice to say, Satan, I'm tired of messing with you. My God is bigger than you. And I know that that is so difficult for so many. But church, we have to change. See, his overconfidence replaced his humility, but understand that he still had the choice to seek freedom and independence. It was his. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. See, when you and I get all prideful in our life, pride is going to do nothing but bring destruction in your life. And a haughty spirit begins to make us stumble. See, people had, but when people had and they thought that they're the ones that gave them what they got, I promise you, God's going to show you what you had didn't come from you. What you have came from me. And if you want it, you go after it, or you can rely on me to give it to you. If we work in God's strength, it's a whole lot easier than working in our strength. Proverbs 28 said, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. See, when we're not living the way we're supposed to, we're always kind of looking back because we want to know if someone's coming, and we live in fear. And I don't know if you've ever lived in fear, but I have. And if we're all honest, we've all been in a fearful place at one point in time in our life. But the wicked flee, but the righteous are bold as a lion, because we have the God of all gods and the God who is greater than Satan. But church, hear this. Pride is so subtle that if you and I are not careful watching what we're doing, we become proud of the humility that we have. Then our goodness becomes badness, our virtues become vices. We become something that we're not. See, God doesn't want religion. God wants his word. Deuteronomy says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, Miss Handy, this is exactly what you said a minute ago. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, which was bondage, and out of the house of slavery. See, if you have, it came from God. Someone said the other day, but pastor, you know, my life is in a mess. I said, well, okay. And one of the things they said is, but I tithe. And I said, you know, tithing is not, it's not about giving in church. It's about what you get in church. No doubt if we give to God, we get the blessings that God wants for us. But we should never come to church and try to work our way into the presence of Almighty God by going, I was bad this week, I'll give more. God doesn't need anything that you and I have in our lives. We need God. Mr. Letourneau of Letourneau University is a Christian man who has since died. He died as a billionaire. Most people will say you give 10% to God and you keep 90%. Letourneau said, I quit living that way. I gave 90% to God and lived on 10%. And God did more with his 10% than he could have ever done with his 90%. Because he had faith and trust in God. Matthew says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and my prayer today is that this church and everybody in this church will have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive. But it says, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them. See, we hear the word of God on Sunday. And not in just church, but churches across America, people bring their Bible and they will never open up the Bible again till the following Sunday if they come. And I got to tell you that when a society is the mess that we are today, the only way that we can mop it up is through the Word of God. And you and I need to wear our Bibles out. We need to wear our knees out because we're on our knees praying to God. If you don't journal, start journaling today. Go buy a book and write down your prayers. It slows you down, it makes you think, and you'll begin to write prayers. You can go back a week later and see how God answered your prayers. Or maybe you can find out where you are to go, God didn't answer the prayer, and it gives you a time to reflect on, maybe I didn't do what God asked me to do. But he says, therefore, anyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell, and it will, and the floods come, and they will. And the wind blows, and it will. And when it slams against our houses, and it does, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, church, here's the key. Everyone who hears the words of mine, but yet does not act on these words, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and great was the fall. See, a lot of people want to get mad at God because their life is not where it needs to be. But it goes back to freedom and independence. It all comes down to the situation. Am I going to listen what God says? Will I build my house on the rock or will I build it on the sand? It's a whole lot easier to put the post holes in the sand than it is in the rock. But sometimes God says you're going to have to work a little bit for what you're going to get. And when the wind comes, the poles in the sand will fall because that was the easy way out. But if you spend time chiseling holes in a rock, when the wind comes, the poles will stand. John 15:5 was one of the first verses Pam and I learned years ago. But he says, I'm the vine. You and I are the branches. He who abides in me, he says, they're going to bear fruit. That means that we're going to bear the Christian qualities that the world is looking for. But he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can try, but it's not going to work. You can build that gorgeous house, and you can put it in the sand, and then it will fall. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, I am well content. And I struggle with this sometimes myself. But Paul says, I'm well content with weaknesses. It's okay if y'all insult me, he says. I'm all right with distress, persecution, and difficulties for Christ's sake. And then he makes his statement. He says, for when I am weak, I am strong. And see, you and I look at it the other way. When we're weak, but he says no. When we are weak, that's when God steps in. And God says, when you're weak, I'm going to make you strong. Our mindset's got to change, church. Proverbs says, through insolence, through stupidity, comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. I'm soon to be 66. I don't know anything about church life as where I should probably, but I still seek wise counsel. I'm around just close being 30 years in ministry, and I go to guys that have been in ministry 45, 50, and 60 years, and I seek their wise counsel. Because they've been there, and wise counsel will give us wise counsel to make wise decisions. Yes. Second Chronicles says, but when he, Uzziah, became strong. A lot of people today to go, I don't want to go seek wise counsel. I don't need wise counsel. I know what I'm doing. Then why are you in the mess that you are? Some people I'll counsel and they'll begin to say certain things, and my statement to them is, well, how's it working for you so far? Well, my life's in a mess and you need to change. But it says, but Uzziah, because he became strong, his heart was so proud, he began to look at himself and he goes, I did it. And he acted corruptly. He went into the temple. He burned incense. That was the priest's job. And you and I have to take it serious that we can't play with God. God has given us the way he wants us to live in his book. And either we do it God's way or you do it our way. Either you're lukewarm, or not lukewarm, but God says don't be lukewarm, but either we're cold or we're hot. Meaning either you're for God or you're against God. And the problem with Christianity today is that there's splinters in most people's britches because they're straddling the fence. And you and I got to get to the place either quit playing games and go have fun in this life because there won't be another one for you, or finally take this serious and go, I'm going to take God serious. I'm going to step on the other side. And if God says left, I'll go left. If God says I'm going to go right, I'm going to go right. If God says just stand still, then I'm going to stand still. Isaiah says in the king, Uzziah's death. Now think about this. This is Isaiah. So Isaiah says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called out to another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When you walk into church, do you walk in as if you need to take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground? When you get up in the morning and you begin to say your prayers, do you mindset think that you're standing on holy ground because you're in the presence of God? Sometimes when life goes to heck in a handbasket for me, and it does, I just begin to sing that song, holy, 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 and it touches my heart because God is with me. God has never left me. God will never forsake me. God is always with me, and he's always with you in this church. But church, the problem today is what Romans says, You and I have got to get serious. We cannot be conformed to this world. You know, we're more concerned about being politically correct than we are biblically correct. We're more concerned about hurting someone's feelings because I mentioned the name of Jesus. The message last Sunday, I talked about politics, but see, politics is a part of Christianity. You can't separate church from state. You know, when that was first mentioned, the idea was is that there was freedom to go to any church you wanted to go. It wasn't the idea of taking state out of church. For God's sakes, we need God back in Washington. We need him back in every decision that we make, and we wouldn't be in the mess that we are. But the Bible says, do not be conformed to the world. You could say today, don't be politically correct, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will prove. The world is searching today, and you're the answer. But it says so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now here's a question. When Uzziah became prideful, did he become less religious or more religious? The problem with the church today, we like religion. But you see, Uzziah became more religious because he was trying to work his way into something that he's already got. He had a God. He had a God that prospered him. Everything he touched, he succeeded till he got prideful. And pride goeth before the fall. Now look at what Isaiah says, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled. And the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If you're a born-again believer, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Church, God has given us both freedom and independence. I'm going to shock you in a minute. But which one will you choose? Do you want freedom? Do you want independence? Neither. Neither. We don't need freedom and we don't need independence. Because if you want to be independent, then go ahead on, because that's where the world is today. We need to be dependent on something and not on ourselves. But here's my answer to this question. And this ends the message this morning. God has given us freedom. And God has given you and me independence. But it is God's truth that will set us free. And only when one is free, based upon the word of God, can revival come and religion die, and freedom through Jesus Christ will reign. Give God a hand clap of praise.